You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, following the deadly Orlando attack this weekend, we'll talk about the convergence of terrorism and mass shootings. First, a couple weeks ago, we talked to a researcher who looked at the policy of wolf hunting and how it impacted poaching cases. He and a partner published a study that said allowing wolf hunting in Wisconsin and Michigan correlated with the rise in poaching incidents. Wolf hunting is a major issue here in Wisconsin, and certain biologists have taken issue with those recent findings. Last week, my co-host, Rob Ferret, sat down with Adrian Wiedeven to talk about that issue. Adrian is a certified wildlife biologist who headed up the Wisconsin DNR Wolf Recovery and Conservation Programs from the years 1990 to 2003. He was also the senior editor of the book Recovery of Gray Wolves in the Great Lakes Region of the United States.
A couple weeks ago, we talked about a study saying wolf culling, they teased out the numbers here, and they made the case that it could lead to ultimately more poaching. So what are your thoughts on that? What do you see when you look at the numbers over the last bunch of years?
Well, I headed up the wolf program for many years and looked at a lot of those data and did some analysis with Eric Olson, a professor here at Northland College, and we came up with different results. Our results suggested that when some kind of public culling was allowed, when wolves that were causing problems were removed by government trappers or people were issued permits to allow them to remove problem wolves, that we saw a decline in illegal kill. And ours was more of a direct measure. We were looking at radio-collared wolves when they died, and we found that the rate of illegal kill seemed to be much lower during the periods that there's some kind of culling allowed and was higher during periods that they're completely protected by the federal government.
Yeah, this other study I mentioned, it involved UW researcher Adrian Trevis, who we talked to. They were going for more of an indirect approach. They said, I think they're making the case that we may not know when wolves are poached, so they're trying to get an overall population measure. What do you think about the strengths or weaknesses of trying to get at poaching numbers in that way?
Well, one of the problems that they're dealing with is that they looked at 8 years of very rapid population growth. And if you think in terms of a wildlife population, then when it first hits the landscape, it goes through kind of these phases that initially there's few of the animals around and there's a very slow growth rate. And then they hit kind of a period where they grow very rapidly, and after a while, the population again starts to slow down as it starts to approach the carrying capacity. So if you incorporate that period of very rapid growth, which was also the period that wolves were federally listed, it gives you kind of an inflated value of how fast that population, of how great they're growing, but it's do more to just how populations grow than the kind of controls in place. So I think it gives you kind of a misleading indication that this population is growing very well because they're protected. Well, they're protected, but it's also because that's the phase of the growth of the population you're looking at.
I think one thing everybody in this conversation probably agrees with is that we don't want poaching, illegal poaching, I guess it's a redundant phrase. Have we seen poaching in any stage of the game here with wolves to such an extent that it's having an impact on wolf population numbers?
It probably did in the early years. We started monitoring the wolf population about in fall of 1979, so our first count was for winter 1980. And through the early 1980s, the population was actually declining in Wisconsin, even though they were federally protected endangered species. Parvovirus was perhaps a factor at the time, a new canid disease, but we also measured very high levels of illegal kill. So that did seem to be reducing the growth of the wolf population. I believe there's places in Europe where Finland has seen these experiences where illegal kill has been so high that it's reduced the population growth at times. I believe that's been seen in Poland and some other locations. So there are times where illegal kill can be at such a rate that it actually controls or reduces the size of a population of wolves.
So the hope among conservationists, I guess, is that by allowing culls, government culling of wolves, or maybe specific licenses to target problem wolves, ones that are attacking livestock, for example, that will reduce the incentive, the motivation for poaching. Is that right?
That's right, and we've seen indications of that when we have had these culls in place, we get only half the rate amongst radio-collared wolves that are dying from illegal killing versus time periods when there are no cullings in effect. So it seems that, people are taking matters into their own hands, or they're frustrated with the fact that there's no controls in place, and we're seeing higher rates of that illegal killing.
We're talking to certified wildlife biologist Adrian Wideven about wolves, culling, hunting wolves, and poaching. Adrian, in a paper you co-wrote, you point toward maybe a bigger problem not being one specific policy, but rapid changes in policy when it comes to wolf hunting or culling. Can you spell that out for us?
Well, what we saw in Wisconsin, the Great Lakes region, is that we've gone through these swings in management authority, which has been created a lot of concern and a lot of negative attitudes toward wolves that we're seeing. In 2003, wolves were downlisted from federally endangered to a threatened species, giving the state more management fluctuation. And then it went back to federally endangered in 2005, was delisted in 2007, relisted in 2008, delisted in 2009, relisted in 2009, delisted in 2012, and relisted in 2014. So we have these back and forth shift. The public is getting confused a lot of times on, are they a federally endangered species? Are they a state managed species? And I think just that back and forth from overly protected to state-managed species, and in some cases perhaps more aggressive hunting than needed to be, but the drastic back and forth, I think, is creating a lot of concerns and a lot of confusion amongst the members of the public.
What would you like to see? What would be the ideal state of affairs going forward, at least for the next handful of years, when it comes to federal and state listing, culling, and hunting? What would you suggest is the ideal policy right now?
And I want to clarify that my statements represent my own views, mm-hmm. and not necessarily Northland College or the Sigurd Olson Institute where I work. But my preference would be to see wolves as a state-managed species, but the state to manage them in a fashion that allows control on problem wolves. Whether there is or is not a hunting season, I'm less concerned about. I think that should be something thoroughly discussed with all the stakeholders, and if a hunting season were to be considered, it should be done in a fashion so that the methods of hunting wolves are broadly accepted. It's during times of the year when it has least impact on the population, and it's done in a fashion so that it's sustainable, it maintains a healthy wolf population, and helps reduce some of the conflicts. But I guess my preference would be that they go back to a state-managed species and more flexible management be in place.
There have been concerns that if they are not protected under federal protections, we could see a state of affairs where political whims, maybe the vagaries of state politics, might lead to, I think you used the phrase, maybe too aggressive hunting of wolves. Is that a concern if they're delisted at the federal level?
Well, it's a concern from the standpoint of that it creates a process that doesn't have a lot of public support, and wolves are being removed from areas where we don't need to remove wolves. So there's questions about the level of sustainability. But from what we've seen, even though there was a fairly aggressive hunting season in Wisconsin, it did not endanger wolves. It reduced the population somewhat. So I'm less concerned about a hunting season endangering wolves again as to creating a lot additional concerns over how wolves are being managed and perhaps affect where wolves can live and where they can't live, that it may reduce some of those places. And it creates a lot of negative attitudes toward the state government by those who want to see wolves better protected. So I think an overly aggressive harvest can have a lot of problems, but the harvests that have been done thus far have not endangered the population.
What do you see as the status of the wolf population in Wisconsin now in terms of numbers? Are the numbers sustainable in terms of habitat and in terms of range? Are the numbers we have able to spread over a wide enough range to keep them going sustained into the future?
Well, we have a very healthy wolf population. When we started monitoring in 1980, we counted 25 wolves, and even 10 years later, when I started working with wolves in 1990, we counted 34 wolves. Last year, our count was about 750 wolves, and we anticipate this year the count will probably be at least as high and perhaps even higher without any hunting season this last year. I think we're well in the range of the numbers that can be supported in the state. Current levels are a very healthy population. We're starting to see wolves have impacts on ecosystems. So at levels where we currently are suitable, if it's a little bit less or a little bit more, it doesn't make a lot of difference. I think if they're drastically reduced, that would be of concern. If they're allowed to spread over much larger areas, it becomes an issue that the good habitat is pretty much saturated. Where wolves are moving into are going to be more developed landscapes where there's a lot more farming, where there are people living with their pets, and there's much higher risk of conflict. So maintaining a population closer to our current level would be desirable.
Adrian, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
That was Rob Ferris' interview with wildlife biologist Adrian Wideven on the impact of wolf hunts in the state of Wisconsin. I'm Veronica Rickert. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.